Okay. So first of all, before we to introduce this topic, before we do the sources themselves, so there are really different approaches in Judaism to regarding signs from God and the supernatural world in general. There are different approaches. So I'm going to share with you three broad approaches. The first approach would be the Rambam. The Rambam, for example, says that man has no hand in the supernatural. There's nothing we can't, with all these things dealing with magic, sorcery, it's not real. The Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Tes Zayin states that Udvarim Ha'elu, it's not in your sources, but the Rambam says that Udvarim Ha'elu Kulon Divrei Sheker V'Chazav Heim. These things are falsehood, these aren't true. And it's not correct. And he says involvement in magic and superstition is futile. The Sefer Chinuch says this also. If Hirsch says this, you shouldn't involve yourself in it, even though it's not real, but you shouldn't involve yourself in it. That's sort of like one approach. And then you have the Ramban on the other side. The Ramban actually believes that there is magic and superstition. They're real and they're powerful. But he said you still shouldn't do it. And there's a Ramban in Devarim Perek Yud Ches plus Yud Gimel, which says, Tamim, it's again, these things are not in your sources. There's actually an article after the sources, which actually has some of these positions, or Devarim Yud Ches plus Yud Gimel, where the Ramban says, Tamim Tia Hashem Elokecha, you should be pure. And in this, he writes that all he says is, V'lo nidrosh mehovrei shemayim, v'lo mizulasam, v'lo niptach sheyavo, divrei malkalpanim. We shouldn't listen to the different, against the soothsayers. Aval, he says, but im nishma davar mehem nemar kol b'dei shemayim. Even if we hear something from them, we should say everything's in the hand of God. In other words, he's not saying this is ridiculous. I mean, again, you have the rational school of thought, the mystical school of thought. The Rambam says, don't pay attention to this. It's all foolish. It's all silly. The Ramban says, it's real, but you shouldn't do it. And you have a middle position, which is the Meiri. There is a Gemara in Psachim, and the Gemara talks about, like, you know, we have four cups of wine, and we have two pears. And a pear in Hebrew is what?
Zugot.
Zugot.
So that's say agas.
Oh, yeah. So zugot, there's a mystical concept that it's bad. That zugot, having things in pairs are bad. I don't fully understand why, but that's like a magical, mystical concept that it's bad. But this is, Pesach is a Leil Shimurim. It's a day when we are, you've heard that concept, right? Pesach is Leil Shimurim, they were protected. So the Gemara says we're Leil Shimurim. That means we're protected from any kind of dangers that could happen. Now the Meiri has an interesting position where he says, yeah, basically, like, everyone was really superstitious in those days. So Chazal felt, since everyone, like, believed in this stuff, then we should, like, give them an answer, even though it's, you know, like the Rambam would have said, like, this is foolish, this is silly. But the Meiri felt that this was such a powerful drive for this, so they had to placate the masses.
You can adding the fifth cup, is that why?
No. They had to say that no, it's a Leil Shimurim.
Oh,
it's a day where God watches up.
Okay.
But it's not real, but it's like to you know, people really felt very strongly about this. And so it wasn't something, there was such a strong desire and feel a belief about this stuff. Now, for them to say it's not real, it wouldn't have carried anything. So they need to. So it's interesting. Even though the Gemara says this, so that's a very fascinating position by the Meiri, because right, the Meiri is the Gemara is quoting that the Gemara itself is quoting that this is a solution to the problem, that it's a night of Shimurim, it's a night where God is watching us, and therefore you don't have to worry about this. And for the Meiri to say, nah, they were just saying it to calm people down. That's like a fascinating, you know, that's a fascinating position. You think about it, right? They were saying it's not real, but it was enough, you know, for people to say that. It's a fascinating position. So you have like these like kind of three different in-between positions. One Ram would say everything here is not correct, right? You have the Ramban who says it's he believes in the supernatural, and the Meiri somewhere in the middle. This is found in like the article after the sources. You can look at it afterwards. And obviously I think there's a big picture when you look through the sources. When you read through the sources, okay? I think there are, and we'll see this as we read along. You think when you You think that if you sit far away, I'm going to call on you less. No, I'm joking. You can sit there. It's not joking. I'm not going to call you at all. No, it's fine. It's fine. Wherever you want. All right. I have to make everyone feel equally uncomfortable. That's all. Okay. So the big picture question here, when it comes to the prohibition of sorcery, magic, you know, whether it's real, whether it's not real, there's another big picture question if you've seen through the sources that you've read, is the goal that you can't do things that are pagan practices, or is the goal to prohibit practices that remove your faith in God? In other words, I think you've seen through some of the sources, whereas we'll see that some of the sources say that if you attribute this to Hashem, then it's okay, versus some don't like that. So I think that just keep this big picture essential understanding in mind, right? That really it's a big question so we have to talk about now. So we see, I think the different answers I think reflect this broad question, whether it's simply as long as you attribute this to God, it's okay, or you say no. You can't engage in this at all. We have to look at other ways why it's not a problem. And there is, by definition, sorcery, these kind of things are bad. They're pagan. They're because they're pagan practice. Even if you attribute to God, it's a problem. Or is it specifically that you're only looking at other gods to deal with this, and you're not focusing on Hashem? I think that's a big picture question as we think about it as we go through this. So there's a difference between, right, there's nichush and onen, right? Nichush and onen. So what's the difference? What's the difference between nichush and onen? Remember? What? Right. Onen do is times, right? And what's nichush?
Divination, like looking at something and saying this.
Right.
Nachesh is right. To look for something that you don't know, like reading tea leaves.
Okay. So, right. So that is one's based on action, one based on time. Right. So that's in the first source, you have a Yikra Yud Tes Chavav, says you can't lo tenach hashuv lo ta'onenu, and Rashi on Yud Tes Chavav, it's based on the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin Samechem and Beis, and Rashi says lo tenach hashuv kigon elu hamanachashin b'chulda uva'ofos. They uses weasels or birds, pito nafla mipiv tzvi hipsiko baderech. And it's basically because of certain actions, so I want to do this, I don't want to do that. It's based on an act. You act based on an event, or you say certain events are bad signs. Whereas onen, as was pointed out, is lishon onot v'shaot, for the word ona, times. Shamar yom ploni yafel latzchil malacha, it's a good time, it's a good day to start malacha. Let's say it shouldn't go out at this time. This is a good time, a bad time. So it seems that nichush is based on actions or events, and onen, lo tonenu, is based on times. Okay? So that's found, again, you see it's in the Gemara Sanhedrin, that's in Shulchan Aruch, Yordea, Kufay, and Tes, Saif Gimel. So that seems, okay, all these things are bad. The problem is that we have a lot of examples where it seems that people used these different sides.
Is this like the same thing as like when people say a black cat crosses your path?
I think so. I think so.
Or it's like a full moon in the hospital. That's like a big deal.
Right.
Come in.
Okay. So no, that's different. No, I'm saying the red bendel. No, the red bendel. That's not. No, the red bendel is a different issue. No, you can serve the pot all you want, but what I'm saying, the red bendel. If that would be an issue, that's the last chabura was on Chukas Akum. And I want to be very precise. The issue with, and I'm not taking a position on it now because we're not talking about it now. The issue of the red bendel, people who feel it's a problem, they're going to say this is a Darche Ha'emori. This is a pagan practice. This is doing something which is a pagan practice. That's not our topic now. That's a different issue. This, it could be all related. This is basically you see a certain sign. Like here you say, do this for good luck or whatever it means, right? Wear this for good luck. This is saying, hey, this is reacting to a certain event or a certain time. You know, so that's a little different. Darchei Amori, you gotta get your anti-rationalist issues in order here. So you got the issue of people with red bedel, people have an issue with the red bedel, so they call that Darchei Amori. And that's again another topic. And these issues, Nichush and Ona and Lo Tonenu, that's based on events and actions or based on certain times, auspicious times, inauspicious times. So the two issues that the Gemara the Gemara in Chulin, Daf Tzadi Hamid Beis states that if it's a type of nichush like Eliezer and Yonasan, not a problem. So we all know the Eliezer story, right? The Eliezer says this week's parsha, right? Where Eliezer, I always try to tie in to the week's parsha. Oh, that's a sign from God. Can I say that? I don't know. Okay, I don't know. I don't know. I'm trying to think. So according to one approach, it's okay. Okay. So with Eliezer, so that we know. So he said, right? If the girl says, if I say, give me the drink, and she offers, well, and that whole thing. So that's a certain sign. So right, and so that's a sign that she's the one, and then we have the what's the story with Yonatan? What's the story with Yonatan? Remember that?
I read ahead. He wanted to kill some people.
Yonatan wanted to kill some people. Yeah, and.
And he said, like, if they say this when we go over to them, they're expecting an ambush.
Right. Exactly. Right. So Yonatan said the police team were by the pass of Michmash, and Yonatan was with one guy. And he says he's gonna jump out, and he's gonna say, if police, when they see him, if they say, come to us, that it's a sign from God, then he's gonna be victorious. And if they say no, stay here, then we shouldn't attack. So depending on their response, so that seems to be maybe Nichush as well. Okay? Again, the reason why the assumption of the question why it might be Nichush is because there are like two of them, against many, many plishtim. So it would seem like it would seem on the surface that it would be like, have to be something supernatural for him to defeat the plishtim. Right? To say that it's a military tactic seems difficult if you're like two versus, tens and tens of plishtim. That's the assumption. One of the answers challenges that assumption. But that's why they assume this is nichush. You could say depending on how they respond, we're going to see if they're scared of us or not scared of us. But the fact that he was so outnumbered, it would seem almost like this is like a supernatural thing for him to, like he's relying on God to defeat them because he can't defeat them naturally. So the question of Eliezer and Yonatan is again they are reactive to certain signs which seem to be potentially problematic. So it's interesting. Is you have different answers, right? Tosfos says that, for example, if you look at Tosfos in Chulin in Tzadi Hamid Beis, so in the bold he says Dahutana Savarla Shelo Nasa Lo Tzmidim Ad Shegida Lo Bas Mihi. So what does it mean that he didn't give her the bracelets, I guess, and he didn't accept that she's the one until she told him whose daughter it was. So in other words, basically. When he said to God, God show me a sign, he didn't really mean it, essentially. That's what Tosa's answer really is. Right. Okay? Because he didn't really mean it. Because if he did mean it, and even if he's relying on God,
it wouldn't matter.
In other words, that approach would hold that, Tosa's approach would hold that even if you attribute this sign to God, it's still no good. Because, this, like what I like to say, this is a pagan practice. Okay, so that's what he told us to say. He wasn't really relying on this at all. It was like asking God, give me amuna, give me faith, but it really wasn't real. Yeah.
Right. So I don't remember who says one anymore.
Okay.
But isn't there one that says that it was he wanted to have an indication of the character?
Yeah.
Right. It wasn't even a question of
right.
sign.
Right.
It was just that's the kind of person that I
right.
want.
Right. Right. So that is right. That was the rod.
Right. There was like a logical.
The rod says it's logical. Again. See, right. The challenge. I'm just saying the challenge of these approaches. You see how both Tosos and the Ron, they're struggling with this question, because the simple reading of the text says that he's asking God. See, See, sometimes we don't like any answer. The reason why sometimes we don't like any answer is because sometimes you're stuck with your preconceived philosophical beliefs and the strict meaning of the text. The strict meaning of the text says he asked God for a sign. But on the other hand, you have this prohibition that you can't do that. So you have to pick your poison. And either you're going to say that he, even though it seems in the Torah it says he was really relying on God, he wasn't. So again, the fact he asked for God, okay, he didn't really, he was really looking for, like we were saying, the Ron said that he's looking for a sign of chesed, right? He's looking for, so God, help me find someone's chesed. But again, he wasn't relying on God. Or maybe he wasn't relying on this at all, and he just wanted to ask, you know, he really didn't give it to her until he found out where she was from. So this discounts the simple reading of the text. As opposed to, right, as opposed to the Torah Tamima, who says what? In the Torah Tamima, in Bereishis Chavdalid, so he says, no, but if you ask God for the sign, then it's okay. It's a kol b'derech emuna. So I'm saying, this is a great example of the two different schools of thought regarding Nichush. Right? In other words, I don't know definitively if we can say that, you know, the rationalist has one approach versus the mystic in terms of this. I haven't thought about that. In other words, do they align? As I mentioned at the outset, right, you have the rationalist school of thought saying this is all ridiculous, sorcery and all these things, versus the mystic who says it's real, you just can't do it. I might be inclined to say, but I don't know if this fits in well with the different positions, I might be inclined to say that the mystical school of thought would say that if you attribute to God that it's okay, meaning it's real, right, as opposed to the rationalist school of thought, they can't. Wait, it's real. This, the whole thing is not real. So I'm inclined to say that the rationalist school of thought would answer like Tosfos or the Ron to say that you can't do this at all, right? You can't do this at all. But what Eliezer did was really logical. It was really looking to see if she was doing chesed. He didn't really. He was just giving himself chizuk, and he only gave her the brace after she told him, you know, that she was from the family of, from Avram's same family, which is what Avram asked, right? As opposed to the Torah Tamima, who said this is real stuff. This works, right? You think it works. The Rambam, I don't think, would say that it works, right? And then when it comes to Yonatan, so we don't have so much about Yonatan. He just says that V'yesh Lobar, so in Tosfos he says, again, V'yesh Lobar is in source 9. Tilazariz is Naru Abarkade of Hachidav Hayola. He was just saying it to pump up his young boy, his young, you know, whatever his I guess his servant who was with him, or his assistant who was with him. He was just trying to get him, you know, to get him, you know, pumped up for the battle against these insurmountable odds. Again, Tosus also says, I think, that he didn't really mean it. Where is this? I think Tosfos says that he said
saw he would have gone up.
Right, no, that's Tosfos. So I think the Rod says the same. He said that the sign, you know, I don't think he mentioned that specifically, but I think that's sort of like the distinction here, okay? So we see this debate here regarding at least the Yonatan Eliezer, right? The stories. Is it can you rely on God and that would be good enough? And they relied on God versus no, you can't rely on it all, and you have to say you can never react to certain signs. You can never attribute certain signs to the divine telling you something. I mean, maybe the Urim Vetumim, you know, that was a little, you know, the Urim Vetumim, that was something that you could, you know, there's certain protocol. But in general, signs, you can't rely on definitively to act on it. Okay.
Maybe it's just a sign for, just like tefillah is supposed to be, the idea of tefillah is supposed to be reflective.
Right.
When it says that they were looking for a sign, that is also reflective. That it's not that you're looking for a sign from God; you're looking for a sign to yourself. So, in the case of Eliezer,
right.
He was setting a test for himself. You know, how am I going to discern which of these women are worthy of marrying?
Right.
Okay, she has to have X, Y, Z.
Right.
And in the case of Yonatan, he was setting a sign, like, for himself, like, I'm screwed either way, but like, this is my line in the sand. If we do this, we'll go up.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like a reflective, it's just a reflective almost prayer to prayer, but it's not looking for a sign from Hashem. It's just setting a sign for yourself.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I think that's right. I mean, I think that's the first, that's not the Tartamima. I think that the Tosos of the Rod are saying, either Tosos are saying, like, yeah, like, just give me strength, essentially. Like, you know, I'm thinking, yeah, when you say God, you're not really looking for the give you a sign. It's reflective. I think tefillah can look a different approach. I mean, it could be the same debate with tefillah as well. Mm-hmm. And the Rod is really focusing on, yes, she needs this character trait. I think that's right. Okay, so that's sort of it when it comes to that. Then we have those simanim for Rosh Hashanah. So again, yes. there are certain things, I would say that, for the most part, I think there are many things that you follow the custom of the husband when you come into marriage. Mm-hmm. The Siman of Rosh Hashanah are something in the Muscat family that we follow the custom of the wife for purpose of Shalom Bayis.
And we don't do it, or we do it?
Oh, no. Yael loves this stuff. So, okay,
really?
Whatever. Whatever. It doesn't hurt me that much. I'm very... I've learned...
She likes
the Simanim.
Could use all the blessings.
She likes the Simanim. Why not? It makes her feel good. Better. Makes the family feel good. Whatever.
Blessing.
I used to be... I've gotten less cynical in my old age. Okay, but the truth is... Okay. All right. No. Whatever. Okay. So no. But the truth is. Let me be fair. The Gemara talks about this. So again, and the. I happen to say, I'm just to be very honest with you. So I happen to be more of like a rationalist man. But at the same time, I'm not going to say the I tell about everything. You know, Bahashkafa, I'm more like modern Orthodox opposed to Yeshivish. I believe there are two different approaches. Both have a tradition in Judaism. Both are legitimate approaches to Judaism. Within the rationalist and the mystical approach, there are sources for both of them, very strong sources for both approaches. If there are different approaches, I see what resonates with me personally. So I can't, like, you know, everyone should be comfortable and do what they feel comfortable with. And that's fine, you know. I may joke about it here or there, but all I'm saying is, if you hold of simanim, if you hold that the simanim have real power, so you have to deal with how does this deal with the issue of nichush? In other words, the Meiri solves the problem, and the Meiri says that the signs you have in Rosh Hashanah are not a problem. Why of nichush? Why? Because there's all psychological. The Meiri was a rationalist. And he says, it's just to get your kavana for you to focus, to, you know, in other words, a better way to visualize what you should be praying for is you have an object, like sometimes you want to give a speech, right? So sometimes you give a speech just speaking about something, and sometimes you can use a visual aid to help you, you know, focus yourself or focus the audience. So this is like a visual aid. The food is like a visual aid to help you focus on what's at stake, what you should be thinking about, which is nice. And that's why I would like to tell people, like, you know, I don't like all the different simanim. And I always say, even the Mishnah Berurah quotes, you know that when you say the line, you can just look at it. You don't have to eat it. You don't tell you. Okay, you want to help the ideas of you ask God, you know, to help you, I make it reflective. I make the prayers reflective. I look at the food and I ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu, give me a good year. I want myself to give a good year. This is what I should be thinking about. So for me, it's reflective. Okay, it's fine. Again, I'm saying it. You know, I'm hungry. I want some fish. It's good. Okay, whatever. So, okay.
Really eat a fish head.
What?
You're not going to really eat
a fish head. I don't mind eating it. If I want to eat it, I'll have it. Whatever. It's fine.
Jellyfish.
It's fine. I mean, look, first of all, a lot of people do this on Pesach. People have all these different items on Pesach to get the kids excited. Okay. So whatever.
Kabbalists, they use that.
Okay, so now, when it comes to the Mordechai, so that those who take this very seriously, those who take the Simanim very seriously, they have real power. So how do you deal with Nichush? How do you deal with these signs? So what does the Mordechai say? The Mordechai says it's based on Tanakh and Gemaras. In other words, the only time that Nichush is an issue, right, the Gemara which talks about the Simanim is the Gemara in Krisus, Davon Ben Aleph, who says, you know, Hashem Damat Simanim Bil Sahid, if we hold that signs is significant, Yehi Rogel Enish Lemecha Reish Shasa Krav Rubia Karsi Silka Vatari, you should eat, well, all these different types of foods, which have positive sides. And the Mordechai in Yoma basically says that, again, he says, the reason why this is not a problem of Nichush is because these signs that are mentioned specifically come either from Tanakh or come from Chazal. Again, I think that it works with this bigger understanding that I began the shiur with, is that there's a whole school of thought saying it's only sorcery if it removes you from faith in God. But if you're like Eliezer and you say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give me a sign, it's not a violation. Again, this is one school of thought, Torah Tamima. And I think similar to this line, the Mordechai will also say that, again, if it's found in Tanakh and it's found in Gemaras, there is power to this. This is the more mystical approach. It's not a violation of Nichush because you are attributing this to God. Right, and this is based. There's also the Marsha. This is not in your sources. It's in the article in the back. If you want to read more about it, the article back. The Marsha says, it's a Marsha in Horio stuff. You'd base Amid Aleph, where he basically said, interesting. He says that the reason why omens are forbidden is this, is that if there's a bad omen, we don't believe if there's a bad omen that bad will definitely happen. In other words, according to this approach, according to, again, the mystical approach, there is something where there are mazalos. There are things that bring about good signs or bad signs. What's the problem? When you believe that we have no way of changing the mazal. In other words, the reason why mazalos are bad is because the mazalos are, you can't believe in them wholesale for good and for bad, is that we don't believe in that. If we have a decree against us, so we believe tshuva tefillah tzedakah mevinos ra gzeira, that we could potentially change. We could potentially change something. The idea of an omen is that it's fixed, and we have no ability to change that. And so that's only a problem if it's a bad sign. But if it's a good sign, that's fine. So in other words, the way the Marsha deals with this Gemara is this is a good omen, and there's nothing wrong with it, because there is a power to this. Again, there is a power to this. It's not a problem. Nichush, using signs, is only a problem if you believe that there are signs for both good and bad. So again, you have the Meiri for the rationalists of the audience, and you have the Mordechai, you know, the Marsha for the mystics of the audience. And just one more thing, and the Chaya Adam actually has a... He actually learns this from, there's a Ramban throughout Sefer Bereishis, who, if you've heard the concept, Maisei Avos Simon Labanim. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what does that mean? That the actions of the ancestors are a sign for the kids. So the question is, what does that mean? So the Ramban says that Avram Avinu journeyed to different places, and he dug wells, and his kids did the same thing. So the question is, what does that mean? Do you simply mean, okay, they followed his footsteps, or do you actually mean there's some power to that? And once he did it, then there was some force which drove his kids to do that. Again, the Ramban's a mystic, so the Ramban will say that actually there is some force in place which did that. So what you do in the beginning continues that on. So the Chayi Adam understands that the Simanim of Rosh Hashanah fall under this Maisei Avos Simon Labanim. So again, you have Meiri, very simple, psychological, helps you have the proper Kavana. The other school, the Mordechai, the Marsha, Chayi Adam, so there, Rabban, they're going to say there is power to this, right? There's power to this, but again, if you attribute it to God, if it comes from Tanakh and the Gemaras, it's not a problem. If it's only good, it's not a problem. But if it's good and bad, it's a problem. So that's we see this major debate among, you know, two schools of thought here, you know, found in the Simanim as well.
Are there any major poskim that say you can't do this at all?
It's hard because in the Gemara, it's in the Shulchan Aruch. So the question is how you look at it. So I'm saying I don't know definitively. Like, there's no problem. When we studied the Kaparos,
right.
So that was a clear Darche and Mori issue, okay? Which some, and I don't believe, I'm just trying to think, I'm not sure, I don't believe Kaparos come from the Gemara. Uh-huh. I believe it started in the era of the Gaonim. I'm not 100% sure, but I believe it started in the era of Gaonim. This is like an explicit Gemara, and they don't challenge it. So again, I don't know, like when the Gemara, as I mentioned, when the Gemara mentions in Maseches Pesachim that we deal with the two pairs of Zugot, with the issue with that, by saying that Zalel Shimurim, and they're just saying to calm people down, maybe you could have said it here that everyone felt that, like everyone felt the need. I didn't find any source that said that, and it's brought down. So again, there's no counter pressure of Darchei Amori. Right. So it's simply but then the rationalist will say that it's simply to focus your kavana. Eva, yeah?
There's also a reference in here. I don't remember any of
these. Okay.
That's the same
Yihi Ratzon. Right. No, that's the Miri. Right.
Specifically, so then it's okay to do it. If you're saying the Yihi Ratzon,
yeah.
Then it's okay.
So that's the, yeah, so right. I'm sorry. That may wasn't clear. Right. So the Miri said, it gets you to say the Yihi Ratzon. You look at the food, you have the proper kavana, you say the Yihi Ratzon, and then you're thinking about, again, whether you hold it's a tefillah, whether you hold, you know, that it just gets you, when it gets you in the mood. We do a lot of things to prepare. We need to be in the mood, right? One of the critiques of Orthodox, of Judaism, or Orthodox Judaism, is that sometimes we just do things by rote without having the proper, concentration, the appropriate mood. That's what people do, like in the Seder. They do all these, like, funny things to get the kids interested, but they get themselves in the mood, right? So this puts you in the mood of doing that. So you say that he wrote so again, whether it's a tefillah, whether it's a reflective piece, to make you aware of the awesomeness of the day. And don't just come into shul, just saying these words. Feel the power of the day. So we're doing different things, so you feel the power of the day. Yeah, 100%.
Right, so the rationalist would say, don't say the he wrote.
No, why not? I don't know. I'm not sure. No, I think the Miri said, I think that was the Miri that you're quoting. He's against the Hiratzon. It could be. Yeah, so what do you say? Yeah, you could, I'm saying you don't necessarily have to say that. I'm trying to see where was this Biri. Where did I see the Biri? Was the Mordechai? Where was the Biri? Where did I see? I know where I saw the Biri. I taught this. I remember now. I taught this to my ninth grade students, the Machlos in the Miri and the Chayada. But that's the. But I thought there's also, right. So the Miri discusses also. But the Hirat. Yeah. So you could, when you look at the Hiratzo, when you look at the Hiratzo, I you could say that, Eva.
You have in the back the Miri.
Okay. Right. Okay. Okay. You have the back. Right. Okay. Could be. But the what I'm saying is that Eva, that you. It's not definitive. You could say that if it's purely, it's like, I mean, there might not be anything wrong with Yihi Ratzon. So maybe you say Yihi Ratzon, you don't say Hashem's name. Right. So Yahweh doesn't know whether they say Hashem's name or not. I'm able to cover that up, whether they say
Hashem's
name.
Can you say it on Shabbos?
Yihi Ratzon.
Do you ever have Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos? Is that not a thing? I can't even think of that.
Yeah, oh no, you're saying something else. You're saying, can you pray for things? The truth is we can. So you know what comes up? It actually comes up for the Misha Berach Lacholim.
Yeah.
So you should know that we can, and I sometimes forget, but I have to remind, you don't have to say, you know, on Shabbos, you say Shabbos Himi Lizok, right? When you say Misha Berach for Cholim, why? Because it must mean like, you know, you cried, but we're not really crying. Actually, for me, in my view, the mindset should be, when we say the Misha Berach LaCholim, we say Shabbos Himi Lizok, Shabbos we're not supposed to cry, so the way I look at it is that during the week we're crying that we want them to feel better, and on Shabbos we're saying we're not crying but we're doubting and we have the confidence it's going to work. We shouldn't feel like there are two different ways to look at it. Like, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to, you know, we're going to daven to Hashem and God willing it's going to work, right? Right? It's more of a confidence kind of thing as opposed to during the week where we're really crying or feeling sad. And I think I don't view this as like, you know, what do you say, like Nis Shabbos Correct, whatever it is, like let people do their entire business on Shabbos, but they say three words and it's everything's mutter. No, I'm saying like, so my view, what makes at least me feel comfortable of Shabbos Himi Lizok is actually that my mindset is I'm not going to try to cry. It's very hard actually, just in practice very hard because, right, the only time when the whole community, let's say we're praying for someone, the only time the whole community is here is on Shabbos. So sometimes we're thinking about something. So with, you know, like let's say, you know, it's a bad situation. So we're all together on Shabbos. So we're feeling really sad, and we should reflect that because that's what we're all feeling. In reality, we're not really supposed to feel sad on Shabbos. But sometimes the only time we're here on Shabbos, we're all together, is on Shabbos. I think that's like the challenge a little bit. But why am I telling you this? On Rosh Hashanah, there's a reason for this, Dorcha. On Rosh Hashanah, we don't say Shabbos Himi Lizok, even if it falls out on Shabbos. Okay. So there's the power of Rosh Hashanah.
gates are
open. We don't say Shabbos he believes, right. And we're supposed to feel their Yimei Hadid, their days
so
of judgment.
So the Hirat Zones fall into that.
Yeah, so okay. That's
we'll
what I said.
We'll have an opportunity next year.
Right. Okay.
We don't do Shabbos anyway.
Okay. So in any case, okay. I'm not surprised. Okay. So anyway, it's fine. Okay, whatever. It is what it is. It's fine, whatever. You know, it's all good. Okay. So I find that marriage is very important in terms of it builds up our chesed, it builds up our gevura. Chesed, we have to give the other person, you know, a lot, and we also use restraint. So some of these things, we have different customs. It builds up our chesed, sometimes it builds up our gevura. Important sort of marriage. Okay. These things aren't so important. Okay. Especially with Minhagim, these things are not so important. In any case. So another issue is after the fact. Right, events after the fact. This was in source 16 and 17. The Shulchan Aruch Yoredeya Kufa in Tes Iv Dalet. Bias Tito Veisha Ava Pi Shein Nicho Shein Simon. House, child, or wife.
Yeah, what did this mean? Can you explain?
So this right. So if you the Shach in source 17 explains, where he says is the first business that he said like this. The first business that you. This is the Shach in Yoredeya. Kufay and Tes Sif Kata Dalet. The Shach says what it means is if your first business that you do, your first business deal that you do after you buy a house, after you get married, after you have a child, that's a sign as to whether you're going to be probably successful in that business. Let's say after you get married, what?
That sounds really warm.
Okay.
It's weird.
It's weird, okay.
Like, what if you're in the same business the whole time?
Yeah, I don't know. A new venture. He talks about a new venture. That's what he says. I think there are some who don't. I'm not saying that you should believe in it. I'm saying what we're asking is if you
is
do,
okay
if you do, is it okay to believe
when
it?
You open a restaurant and you hang like your first dollar on the...
But I don't know if that's anything.
That's not tied.
No,
it's not like if you opened a restaurant the day after you bought a house.
Right.
Like then you would be like, oh, it was a good day. Now it's a restaurant.
Right. So what I'm saying is these are events after the fact.
Got it.
These are events after the fact, not before the fact. That's the distinction that these cases make. Okay. So then we move to astrology. Okay. Fun stuff. Okay. Tamim, the Torah says, you know, Tamim Tia Im Hashem Lokecha. So therefore, this Gemara Psachim Kuf Yud Gimel Bay states in Source 18 says Minayin Shein Sholim Bekeldayim. You can't consult astrologers. It says Tamim Tia Im Hashem Lokecha. Right. So he says you can't consult astrologers, magicians, sorcerers. So then apparently there are three different types of lotteries, right? The Gemara in Bava Basra talks about, can you draw a lot? Can brothers, this is the Gemara in Bava Basra, Kuf Vav and Beis, let's say brothers wanted to divide up their estate. Can you each say, let's pick, you know, pick lotteries, to pick lots to divide the estate? Why is that not a violation of a lottery, of making a lottery? Why would you think it's not?
So everyone has an equal...
Also, isn't it where everybody agrees to the ahead of time?
But you're not. There's nothing supernatural about this. You're just saying, you know what? They're different. You're not saying this is the. You're not saying sort of like, you know, anyway. Everyone's essentially agreeing. Right. Everyone's essentially agreeing that whatever the result is, we're going to accept it. And so that's not to divide property. That's not what this, you know, is talking about, a lottery for some unknown future. What?
Is there a halacha to do it like that?
No, there's no halacha. But if you want to, no, there's no halacha to do a lot necessarily.
People
you can make the argument. You can say maybe sell the property and divide the proceeds. I don't think you have to divide. I don't think you always have to divide.
The Kohen
Gadol. Oh, they drew lots. They might have drawn lots to see who's going to do what job.
Yeah.
Right. So they do a lot of lotteries. Right. They do a lot of. Yeah, I guess they didn't. They didn't bring this case. Right. So again, that nobody assumes that that's something supernatural. That's simply you got to pick someone. Right. Here also, each party accepts the result to hold someone else liable. Right. So that was. So this is the Shud Vayashav Hayam by Rav Yaakov Moshe Hillel. These are the three different types of lotteries. So basically, he says if basically it's just simply, you know. you know, you just say that this is, no one's saying this is like supernatural. You're just picking, you know, who gets what property. If you're trying to obligate someone, so let's say by Achad, what happened with Achad?
Achan?
Is it Achan or Achan?
Achan.
Yeah. It's Achan. Actually, the first one, huh? Right? Eva, you gotta help me out. Achan. Is it Achan? Maybe Achan.
Oh, it was to find out who had taken.
Right, the spoils, the first battle when they crossed over. We gotta start doing Dachiyomi again. Okay, so and then it gets the next traveling. Okay, well when they crossed over, I'm actually doing this in Maseches Sanhedrin, so I also know. So when they cross over the Jordan River, so their first battle is against Jericho, and then they win. Yeshua says, "Nobody take from the spoils," and then what happens? The next battle against
Ai,
right? They lose around 36 men. And so then God says, Chata Yehoshua, right? Even, this is my, I quoted this in my first Rasha at the Gizel of Ocean Side. Some of you weren't here. The first Rasha, I talked about this story because it was also read to Re'e and Kisavo, where I talked about the climate that we create as a community. So and I use this that when Achan sinned, so Kadosh Baruch Hu said Chata Yisrael. So why Yisrael? Why Klal Yisrael sinned? Because they didn't do it. Achan did it. Because Klal Yisrael created a climate whereby Achan felt comfortable that he could steal. And the point is about even if we don't sin ourselves, but we have to create the appropriate climate for kedusha, for growth, etc., etc. And here we are 16 years later. But in any case, the point is, or some of us. Okay, but anyway. So the point is. So Achan, so he was caught. How did they find it was him? By lottery. And so we said that you could only, that requires Al Pi Hadibur, that has to come through Ruach HaKodesh, and so don't try it at home. And then, so that is supernatural lottery, but that was through Ruach HaKodesh.
So no Ouija boards?
No Ouija boards, right. Okay. So so we can talk about magic and about this stuff, like, you know where that comes in. And then, to determine the future, like a Ouija board, that would seem to be, if you really believe in that stuff, that seems to be forbidden. Right? That would seem to be forbidden of Talim Tia Im Hashem Elokecha. Okay. Now, the final topic, the final major topic, I think we've had in the show magicians before.
Yes,
right?
And I was sure. Thinking about that.
Yeah, okay.
I was thinking
all right.
Two times.
Okay,
yes.
Okay, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
Well, do we always make them like make an announcement? To
yeah,
have, like,
I know.
Okay.
I think so. There's a interesting machlokas. Right. I don't think. I'm not sure if the minhag. Right. I don't know. I don't.
Back in the day, people didn't know. People weren't as educated.
No. I think the minhag is. Seems to me the minhag is like those who are lenient, but it's very fascinating, right?
You know, I never knew that there was even like a question. Right.
No, I understand. I'm saying.
But it also seems like there's a distinction maybe between what types of tricks they're doing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like
so
they pretend to like cut a woman in half and then bring her back to life.
Right, that seems more problematic. Right, yeah. Right. We haven't had that, right? No one came back to life. No one came back to life.
I don't think so.
I thought we had a cut in half situation.
Cut in half situation?
At the dinner.
Cut in half situation? Okay. So in any case,
yeah. Wow. So magicians are not so there are some very firm people who are magicians.
I'm not saying it's an issue. I'm not saying it's an issue.
No, I get that. It's okay, but like
in the olden days.
Okay. No, I'm not saying there are some more comfortable nowadays. I don't know if that's the minhag. I don't know if the minhag is like that. So you have again. So this is, let's just go through this. So the basis is right in Devar Yuches Pasuk Yud. It says Lo Yibatzi Bacha Bavir Bino Bito Baish Kosev Ksabi Maoni Menachish Bechashev. You can't have a diviner, a soothsayer, an enchanter, a sorcerer. And the Gemara says has different definitions of what an onen is. Right, you have three different opinions. One opinion is this one who shehamavir shiva mine zocher al ha'ayin. Okay, I don't know. Put seven types of semen on it.
Really weird.
Yeah, that's like real sorcery. Yeah. The Chachamim says zeha oches es ha'inayim. Someone who could deceive the eyes. He's kind of the magic tricks, it seems.
Yes.
And Rabbi Akiva says, Zemachashiv itim shows. So when he knows today is an auspicious day to go out, not auspicious day to go out. So the Chachamim.
That's like horoscopes.
Yeah, that just, it seems like.
It's, Mercury's in retrograde. Whatever. Okay.
What about the people who say, like, Tishabab is a bad luck day?
No, so again, so if people say that that is a. Well, we there are times where it says that you know, there is a tradition that we have different times or auspicious times. It seems that there are clear, like it says, there are clear examples of, you know, the month of Adar. If you have a court case, go to a court case in Adar. If you have a court case, go in Adar. If you have a court case, don't go in Av. There are auspicious times, non-auspicious times to pray. It seems that, again, it seems when it comes to these things about auspicious times, it seems that there's a major, certainly a very large body of halachic literature which gives credence to this position, and that works with the idea that if it's something that's found in Chazal, in our sources, in our halachic literature, so that is, it's not going to cause you to, you know, to run away from God, to give him away from God, but it's going to cause you, but it's, maybe it'll help you to, you know, it's something that, maybe it's real, right? Seems that there's a tradition that it's real, and that will say, again, since it comes from Chazal, so there's nothing wrong with it, and it's encouraged, right? It's a question in general, like, you know, the month of Elul, it's an auspicious time to pray, or to help prepare us for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur.
But how do we know that the sources are not just, again, like what they did with the four kosos?
Okay, so you have to see how it's interpreted. I mean, the answer is you have to read about what the body of literature is, and you have to see how people interpreted different things. Mm-hmm. Again, there are different. It's different to say there might be a difference between. There could be, again, I know there's some rationalists in the room here. There may be people have more of an issue saying that. Like, what does it mean that Yom Kippur, it's a day, do you believe that Yom Kippur is a day where God judges us?
Yes.
Okay, so. Why? So why, so what I'm saying is, why is it hard to believe that maybe there's a time in the calendar year where it's more, prayer is more effective then? Because there could be different times in the calendar, and maybe God set it up, maybe it was set up that way, because maybe we have certain times in the year, you know, we focus, certain times of the year, there are different times to focus on different midos and different ways of our religious growth.
So then what is this is all saying?
No.
Like, you can't do anything beyond what Chazal already laid out for us.
Again, so maybe. I'm saying there could be a difference between times and actions. Because certain seasons are, this is an auspicious time for this, it's not an auspicious time for this. Again, you could say I don't agree with any of this stuff. You could say I agree with all this stuff. You could make a distinction between, you know, calendar versus certain events, right? There are certain foods. So I'm saying that it's important, you know, you have to look at each thing differently, okay?
Mm-hmm. Now, Barthes, what about, like, the 9 days? Like, you know, all the other things that are surrounding, you shouldn't travel. I'm not so knowledgeable.
Yeah.
So is that in...
So it's probably the same idea, yeah. So I'm saying, so that's right. You know, so that goes with the idea of it is a... Like, it's the month of Av could potentially be a... You know, not as it's a potential dangerous time. It's so that's
evidence based.
It's
evidence based because we have a list of things that happened
right.
on Tisha B'Av.
Right. So,
but even the time leading up to it,
right?
What
do they say? What do they say in their prospectuses? Well, that past practice does not necessarily indicate future performance. But okay, right. So there's some evidence. Okay, so I understand. So there are these are days that are mukha. These are days that are fitting for paronis, for punishment, for suffering. But even if that's true, the question is, are we responsible to live our lives like that? In other words, let me explain for a second. In other words, you could make the argument that this is the day designated for, you know, when bad things are happening to Jewish people, and we should always try to do mitzvot and not commit sins. So the question is, in terms of, you know, what does it mean to be safer? Like, what does it mean to actually try to be a little bit safer? Like, you know, is it really, what does it mean, like, you should stay out of the water? You should always be safe in terms of, you know, water safety, you know, going to the water, not going to water. So, like, what does that mean? Like, I'd be a little riskier during the year, I'm not going to be riskier. It's very hard to quantify these things. I'm saying these things are very hard to quantify. It could be that, you know, if things are closed, so I'm not sure how in practice what that means.
Well, to me, it's like l'fei ve'altitei
l'fei. Right, right.
You know, you have to be a little more cautious at certain okay. times, because why would you laugh in the face of
danger? Right, right. No, I'm saying I don't know. I don't know if we're obligated. I don't know. I'm not sure. I hear what you're saying. There are many factors in terms of doing that. Question is like how much weight do you put into that in reality? Like
how? I'm not saying that it should be.
Right. Yeah, I understand. Okay. Right. There are different positions on this. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, but I held a situation that actually
happened.
That there was. A couple that had been in a terrible accident at one point during the 9 days, and they were told by the rabbi of the community the following year, do not travel.
Okay.
And that period.
Yeah, okay.
So why?
So is the
car? No, so it's there. I just said it's there. I've also had, let's say, it's the only time when your family can take a vacation. And it's, I mean, it depends what it is. There are actually halachic restrictions, not based on danger. I understand. There are like multiple factors. Like, we live crazy lives, and sometimes certain days only fit into certain situations. So, yeah, if it's halachically forbidden, I'm not going to do it. If there are different simanim, so it depends. Let's put it this way. There's another position, by the way, that's out there in terms of how you understand these kind of issues. Sort of like, if you believe it, then it might be real. You have to pay attention to it a little bit, but not so much. In that article at the end, that's the position of the Rashbam, who says, like, if you pay attention, if you are worried about it, then you should worry about it. If you don't, then it's okay. It's the kind of thing where, like, I don't know what to make of it. I don't know what to make of these things.
Like, if God wants it to be your time.
Okay, so I don't know.
You're traveling at a different time, so then that
I don't know. Okay, so it's there. There's a tradition. Let's put it. There's a tradition in both. There's a tradition in both directions. It's there in both directions. Okay.
Can I just ask you as a basic, because maybe I came in late. Yeah. Maybe I just don't know. But is it antithetical to being religious to be superstitious? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying that at all.
No, I don't mean. No, this is not the whole concept here. Then.
It depends what. There's certain people who it's against their whole philosophy to be superstitious, not worried about any of these things at all. Okay? There's not the people who are worried about it, if there are bases in the Gemara and Chazal, from Tanakh, that certainly, you know, that's very helpful. If you say, you know, everything's in the hand of Hashem, but Hashem helped me out and he helped me with this sign, so that there's legitimacy for that. So you have that, so you have that sort of strand of thought. So on the one hand, maybe we can go on our magic shows and also allow people to believe in this stuff and believe in Hashem.
Well, also, I mean, we made a big distinction, I think, at the beginning between being superstitious in like a preventative way versus in a reactionary way.
Yeah.
So a lot of the things I think that we think of as like superstitious that people do are preventative. It's not reactionary. Meaning people wear a red bendel. Like my father walked around his whole childhood with salt in his pockets because his grandmother was always putting salt in his pockets.
Again, that's not our top. That's a chukas achim.
But so I'm saying, but that's it's different. Like we think about superstition in that way. It's different than reacting to something.
Because that potentially is, and there's nothing.
Right, that's an Amori issue.
That's an Amori issue.
But my point is, I think that a lot of what people think about, like as being superstitious in Judaism now, is more that than reactionary
stuff.
Like, I don't think Jews are like into the black cat and broken mirror stuff. It's
no,
more
but at
like
work we do say, "Oh my God, it's a full moon."
But that's not a Jewish thing. That's a hospital thing.
No, that's like a thing that people say. Oh, yeah. It's a full moon. The creepies are out. You don't hear that?
Okay.
It's crazy. Or it's Friday the 13th.
Okay.
But that's all
or
it's
Tisha B'Av.
Right. No, so Tisha B'Av, there's a basis for that. There's a real thing. Tisha B'Av has a strong... Like Roberta said, by Tisha B'Av, there's a lot of evidence. In other words, there's evidence. There's always a question, right? In other words, I always say,
I
say this a lot. I say that, you know what, they say a miracle, I don't say miracle, something supernatural, it's in the eye of the beholder. Right? A miracle, supernatural, is a statistical improbability. So how improbable is something? To which point you say that, you know, something's going on here. So that's why the Mishnah said, 5 really bad things happen to Jewish people on Tisha B'Av. 5 really bad things happen in Shavuot and Tammuz. I mean, it's interesting. They say, like, and also the Jewish people were expelled from Spain in 1492 on Tisha B'Av. I think technically it might have been the 7th of Av, but it's pretty close. You know, like, okay.
During the 9 days.
Okay, no, I understand. Okay, no, I understand. No, I'm saying.
Plus 2 for the Luchos.
Yeah, yeah, okay, whatever, okay.
Right.
So, okay. Right. Tuba B'Av, right, because there are good things that happen. Right, right. So we have these traditions, right? So we have so we have traditions of both sides. Okay, so let's talk about magic for a second. So the Maharik said that an action that appears to be supernatural, like he makes a distinction, right? The Maharik, and this is Tshuva Maharik, Simon Ayin Vav. So he says that something that is a maset timhon, where you do something that's like something really supernatural, I guess, like reviving the dead, that's a prohibition. But if you do like whatever, like a natural trick, like you sort of make it, you do something by illusion, so that's not a Torah prohibition, okay? But this sleight of hand, the big issue is the Bach in Yordea Kufayin Tes, and the Shach, again also in Kufayin Tes, Seif Katan Yud Zayin, he cites the Bach based on the Rambam. The gam achizas enayim she'enu al yedei kishuf rak al yedei mara v'tachbulos v'al yedei kalos hatenua b'yad usur. So deception, even not through sorcery, but just through illusions and tricks and sleight of hand, is prohibited. And you have the Chachmash Adam from the 19th century, of Danzig, Klal Pei Tes, Sif Vav. You have the Shevet HaLevi, right? He's the 20th century, 21st century. So he is modern, you know, work. And Chelek Hei Kuf Chav Tes, Rav Vadi Yosef, right? Pretty modern. So he's Chelek Gimos Siman Samaches. So he says these things are forbidden. Okay, these things are forbidden. Okay, so there are those who say it's a problem, but then you have those who are lenient, right? You have so let's go through what are the possible reasons to be lenient? The Klausenberger Rebbe. The Divrei Yatziv, Yoredea, Siva Nun Zion. Okay, so remember, we're posketing like the Klausenberger Rebbe over Vad Yosef. Okay, so he says. So he says what? He says the Isser Vasek Shochis Nayim VaOmer Shu Osa Davar Pella BeEza Koch Elyon. It's only when you say that this is something of a higher power that it's a problem. But if it's not, then. But Shemegala Lahem Bimafurosh. But if you explicitly tell them, shows us betachbulos, it's reasons you die. But you say this is not supernatural, then it's not a problem. So they don't all say it. So I wonder if like everyone knows now. Like I wonder if you have to actually say it.
Well, maybe that's the difference between calling yourself like a magician or like a master of illusion. Like some people say they're like
no,
illusion.
But that's also marketing. Who really believes?
No, I know, but I'm saying if you call yourself a magician, right. You're claiming you're doing magic.
You make a Hakira. You make a Hakira versus that.
It might be just. Like
well, if you're saying you're a master of an illusion, you're admitting that.
Right, understood. It's an umdana. There's a presumption.
You even have that show, the Penn and Teller show. You know.
Oh, can they guess what you're doing?
I don't think a magician.
Yeah.
Right. Is there something that they're doing that's higher
than? Right. Like who? That right? And
you can figure it out because it is something that they're doing. It's not like it's not but, magic. It's not
right, but sure. I think most people in our community. I think no matter what crazy magic trick someone would do, I would imagine the many in our community. I don't believe. I don't know. Everyone in the community would. People would not. Most people would not believe that. Oh yeah, no. This person really has a connection to
what
higher
about
power.
Tricking kids into thinking.
Yeah. So I don't know. I hear what you're saying. Like yeah.
Rabbi Vadi said you're saying he's modern, and I was shocked when
I understand
that he was
because he takes well. Yeah, the simple reading of the Shach is that it's also he said achizas einayim. So you have to say again that everyone knows it's not like you know. Again, there's a literal you know explanation, and that's so.
Are we never gonna have a magician?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that's the midhug. I don't think that's the midhug.
But maybe for children, you do have to practice it.
Uh huh. Yeah, so maybe.
It
Yeah. You bring in a magician that thinks that they're... You bring in a magician that thinks that they have special powers.
Right, if they think they have, that might be an issue, right. So if someone really believes they have special powers, then I think it'll be a problem. Yeah, it's a problem. The Betzel Chachma, so what is that? So that's Rav Stern. So he wants to say that it's... He says that it's only prohibited if it appears like... So what's the distinction that Rav Stern says? It says it's only an issue if basically you say, right, there are two coins, and then you make, and there's one coin. So no one, you haven't deceived them in terms of what they saw. He's actually working with the literal definition of Ochiz Eseirayim. In other words, they're not tricking you. The magician is not tricking you into seeing something that doesn't exist. He's just, you just don't know how he got, how he opened his hand and there were two coins, and he opened it again and there was one coin. So there's no illusion. There's no illusion. He did some sleight of hand to get from two coins to one coin, but there were actually two coins when you saw it the first time, and there was actually one coin when you saw it the second time.
So what about like mentalists who are able to make people think that something's there that isn't there?
So,
like when we had a mentalist come, right, and like made someone eat an ice cream cone that wasn't there, like, is that okay? They're making somebody see something.
No, but are they making them see something?
I assume. I mean, I don't know. They're like licking an ice cream cone.
What about a hypnotist?
That's what I mean. That's
right, like a hypnotist. Yeah.
It's called suggestibility.
Right, right.
Somehow person, you know, it's never works. God forbid not to compare, but there are people who are more susceptible to being, right,
yeah,
something done to them that's really an atrocity, because and the person who's seeking out the individual who's susceptible recognizes the signs. So the mentalist must recognize, uh-huh, the signs in the audience of who is,
right,
going,
right,
to,
right,
be able to fall.
So again, I don't know. I don't know if it's a sleight of hand, or if he's getting them to do something that they don't want to otherwise do. I don't know if he is.
But like some of the things they have them do is react to something that isn't there.
He's getting a reaction from them, but I don't know. I'm not sure. I hear what you're saying. I'm not sure.
The hypnotist is not okay.
I don't know.
No, so I'm saying I don't. It doesn't sound. I don't know if he's making people. I don't think he's
like just according to this specific response, right, where he's saying like, oh, but the magician's not making them see anything that isn't really there.
Right.
Like, well, who would be making somebody see something that's not really there? And that's what came to my mind. I don't know. That's what's really happening.
No. If he gets everyone to see, no. If somehow he has two coins, if somehow he gets two coins, let's say he's holding two coins in front of you, and he convinces the entire audience that they're seeing one coin. So I guess you're right. You're saying a hypnotist, right? You say a hypnotist. If he actually, I don't know how a hypnotism works.
I've never been hypnotized.
So if a hypnotist. Actually makes you see
like
something.
We had someone here, right, who made someone like literally eat an ice cream cone that, right, wasn't there.
No, I understand. So did he actually?
I don't know.
No, but did he? No, so I don't know. No.
Your daughter's friend.
Right. No.
She like came. It was so scary.
No, but I wonder. No, but did he make? No, but he did he make the person just pretend to eat an ice cream cone? Not pretend, but to actually visualize an ice cream cone?
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying.
Power of suggestion.
What does that mean?
Hypnotism.
Are you actually seeing an ice cream cone?
He like describes it like you're holding this ice cream cone. Eat the ice cream cone.
No, but I understand. But
I. This guy, you're going to be the volunteer. I understand.
Okay. No, I'm not going to know. I'm not going to know if I saw it.
Probably. The idea is that they basically lull you kind of into a level of sleep.
Right.
A trance. A very light level of sleep.
Right.
When you're in that light level of sleep, it's as if you're dreaming, and you can talk to the person,
right,
and make suggestions, which essentially allow the person to dream it, for lack of a better word,
right,
and then they act like a
little. Right. So I wonder if that's right. It's a good point. So I don't know the answer. I'm going to look into this. But I. Yes, that was good. So what I'm saying is a dream. So is a dream state different than a real state? So I don't know. So I guess. Listen, Rav Moshe Feinstein, he's not 100% comfortable, but he says Eina Ro'a B'zeh Shum Isser. Ah, right? He says, this is Igros Moshe or Dan Dowd Yagimbo. He says, if it came in practice, I want to be respectful to those businesses saying it's prohibited, but I don't really think it's prohibited.
That's how he feels about baseball games.
Right. Yes, that's what I'm saying. I think the minhag in general is to be lenient, again, probably because we all know that it's not real deception. We all know that it's not real, magic, those who rely on this. Okay. And then the last...
Yeah. So I have a question about the Sefer Yetzirah. Yeah. What is the Rambam, right? So you said he says all of this is not real stuff.
Yeah.
So how does he deal with this?
I don't think he deals with it.
It's a story that comes down in the Gemara.
Okay, so I don't know how he deals with that. I don't know how he deals with that. But he clearly holds... When Schneer Lyman was here the first time, he demonstrated how that story of the Golem of Prague really wasn't true. Remember that, Eva? Yeah. So he said, what is it called? Some kind of literature, folk literature. He said he found that, like, so he came here and he went through all his evidence to prove that the whole story of the Golem of Prague was all, like, it's a nice story. It never really happened. But there are those who believe in this stuff. I don't know. There are those who believe. I the Rambam may, I don't know what the Rambam holds about this.
What's the story with the Zodiac?
So again, do you believe that there are certain auspicious, certain times
that's
which
like
are,
written in our?
I understand.
Itself, right? Like, but that wasn't mentioned at all.
Right. So again, they'll probably say, like I said, we didn't mention. They'll probably say there are certain signs, there's certain, there's springtime, which is a certain power. They'll say there are mazalot, but they say ain mazal Yisrael also, like that there are certain signs or certain times which are fit for these things should happen at these times. Say there's a strong tradition, like I said, about different times of the year. But we believe, you have to believe in Mazal Yisrael, that we can overcome whatever sign there might be. We have to be able to overcome that. That's like that Marsha that we saw when it came in terms of omens. There was between the good sign in the beginning of the year, the fruits, versus in general those who are against omens, because you have to. There is a strong tradition about a lot of these things.
The zodiac that let's say Chazal talked about, is that like the same type of zodiac sign that the horoscopes discuss, like the month that you were born in?
Was that
any source in?
There is. I don't know enough. There is stuff about. Right. There are mazalot. They talk. Right. I don't know enough to talk about it, but the only thing I know is that. They talk about when Hubba drew lots, what side to curse the Jews at, when he should kill the Jews, what month it should be, but he didn't realize, or when Bilam cast lots about it, he found out,
But they weren't Jewish.
Okay, but the question, does the power exist? My point is, does the power exist? And how do we do that?
Discussion of it, and here we have. Discussion of it, and I don't remember who said it, but it is true that there is power in the Muslim, right. But we don't accept it.
Right. I'm saying Ba'im Mazal Yisrael. Ba'im Mazal Yisrael. I don't know if it's...
Who agrees that there is...
There are powers, but we can overcome it. Yeah, I'm not well-versed enough to comment on it.
They don't all agree on it.
Yeah, they don't all agree upon it.
No, they don't.